Now we're privileged to hear once again from Brother Jonathan Freer, and his subject is substance. Brother Jonathan.
Thank you again, Brother Ed and Brother David. You know, this morning we looked at a number of important applications that are available for us from the Heavenly Father, and this afternoon we're going to continue to do that. We talked about many of the provisions made and those things that are available to us, all those that we use to assist ourselves down the narrow way. And of course, we talked about the Holy Spirit and that energy and how important that is, our opportunities to gather together and have fellowship with the brethren, those of like precious faith. What a blessing this is to be able to gather together. We have the opportunity to study and grow in grace and knowledge and feast on the heavenly things at all times. And of course, we all are also given the privilege of prayer. And this is such an important aspect in the necessity in God's plan. How often we overlook the opportunities to approach the throne of grace. When we do that, the answers are provided. Well, today, this afternoon, we're going to look at one other aspect, a very important one, and that's the significance and importance of faith. You know, the word faith appears 2 times in the Old Testament and appears 229 times in the New Testament. So to me, that's an indication that it's important to us. We know that the gospel truth and God's plan for us is really edified in types in the Old Testament and antitypes in the New Testament. And therefore, I feel that faith, just the sheer number of times it appears in the New Testament, is significant for us. The basis of our study and our topic is from Hebrews 11:1, the faith chapter, and we're all familiar with that. And we'll read that first chapter, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And it said, there are many provisions available to us to look at, to ponder on. You know, when we come to the truth, whatever process it is, however we receive the message, this process of faith will become important to us. This importance should grow. The longer we are in the truth, and the longer we are in our walk, the more important it does become. How many differing ideas are there concerning the faith? Whatever they may be, and whatever our thoughts may be, we must know that it is important in regards to God's plan. You know, there's hundreds of, as I said, there are many scriptures, and in the New Testament there's 229 scriptures dealing with faith. And right now, we're going to look at 5 of those, and we'll look at those because they have a significant meaning for myself, and I think they're very important regarding God's plan and the significance in this topic of faith. The first is in Hebrews 11:6, which says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Our second scripture is in Ephesians 2:8, and that says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not from us, but it is the gift of God." The third is in Acts 16:5, which says, "And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily." Our fourth scripture is from Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ." And finally, the fifth, which is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 and 17, which say, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins." What about these five scriptures, brethren? Do they hold important meanings for us in terms of God's plan? The fact that without faith we cannot please God? That sounds pretty important, very necessary. What about the concept concerning the grace of God and our being saved through faith? How about the idea that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we have been justified through faith? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is in vain. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, and we are yet in our sins. What a horrible thought to consider these things, our Lord having not been raised, our faith is in vain, and we are yet in our sins. Well, brethren, we know this to not be true. We have faith and understanding that our Lord was resurrected, and our faith is not in vain. So therefore, it has to be important to us in looking at faith and using that particular aspect of God's plan to help us understand His operations. They're important to us, and our faith, the faith given to us from the Heavenly Father, as mentioned earlier, through the outworking of the Holy Spirit, that we know these things. This energy tells us we know we have the truth. We know our preaching is not in vain. We know these things to be true. We know our Lord has risen. Faith being an important ingredient in God's plan has to make it important to us. The concept of faith is established for us as a process which enables each and every one of us to make our calling and election sure. If this ingredient is left out, I don't think we can succeed. And I'd like to read a passage from the Hebrews commentary, which was written by Philip Hughes. And it says, "For a man without faith, hope is cumbered with uncertainty and cramped by unpredictability. It's retarded by the fears as well as spurred by the longings of human subjectivity. For the man of faith, however, hope is something sure and substantial, precisely because it is founded on the objective reality of the immutable promises of God, God who cannot lie. We know this to be true. We feel it in our hearts that God cannot lie. It is because of our faith that we press toward the mark." And looking at Hebrews 11:1, I think we find some interesting things there regarding faith and this process and the provisions the Heavenly Father has made. First, though, I'd like to read the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary definitions of faith. And there are five of them. The first is, faith is a belief and trust in the loyalty of God. Number two, a belief in the traditional doctrines of religion. Number three, a firm belief in something of which there is no proof. Four, complete confidence. Five, something that is believed with strong conviction. And six, in faith without doubt or question. You know, one thing they do not imply in this particular these definitions is that faith has anything to do with understanding or knowledge. To me, these definitions are mostly based on emotional things. So let us now return now to the scripture and spend some time looking at this, this Hebrews 11:1. Reading from the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." As I said, Hebrews 11 is considered the faith chapter, and Paul spent a great deal of time laying things out for us to clarify faith for us. In that particular verse, we're going to pay particular attention to four words, and they are faith, substance, hoped, and the word evidence. First of all, let's look at the word substance, and that's the basis of my title. Substance is from Strong's 5287, and it means, it's a Greek word of hypostasis, which means a setting under, a support, an assurance, confidence, a setting under, a support. In an article from an August 1935 Dawn titled Our Firm Foundation, it says the following. Now our text declares that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word substance is from the Greek word hypostasis, which is a combination of two words, hypo and steo. Hypo means under, and steo means stand. To stand under means to give support to. Now, if we are speaking of something tangible, we should translate this Greek term from the English word support. But when we are dealing with something intangible, something that can be accepted only by the mind or by faith, then a better term by which to translate hypostasis, substance, would be our English word understand. The things which we look upon only in the eye of faith are intangible. Hence, the faith of understanding is things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We cannot have faith in any person or thing about which we do not understand anything. Not that we must understand all that there is to know about that person or thing. We do not understand all there is to know about God, yet we have faith in Him. But if we did not understand anything about Him, could we have faith in Him? If we knew nothing and understood nothing about Him, could we have faith? Certainly not. We must have some knowledge, some understanding on which to base our faith. Otherwise, it is mere credulity. Some people may believe a fairy tale, but they can't have faith in fairies if they have no knowledge of them. Hence, God has given us some knowledge of Himself and of His dear Son as a foundation for our faith, even as we sometimes sing, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. Yes, faith must have a foundation, a support, and that support is our knowledge or our understanding of Him and the things revealed to us by His word. If we take this thought of support or foundation, I feel we get a clearer picture of the thought than when we use the word substance. And quoting again from the Hughes commentary, it says, foundation or substance, in a broader sense, is that which stands under and thus provides a foundation. Faith, then, is the foundation on which the structure of hope is raised, or the beginning which contains within itself the certainty of completion. This term foundation or substance is Latin, which means substantia, which we derive our word substantiate. As mentioned, when we looked at Strong's, substance also has a thought of assurance and guarantee. Faith is the assurance or guarantee of things hoped for. Faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. If we look at this translation in Phillips, it reads, now, faith means that we have full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. We are assured. We have an assurance. We have a guarantee. We then begin to have confidence. Faith is a guarantee of the heavenly realities for which we hope. Not only does it render them certain for us, but it envisions them as rightfully belonging to us. All the things we've been talking about, the provisions we have faith in them, and we see them, and we envision them, and we have a right to them. Moving on, let us now look at the word hoped. Hoped is from Strong's 1679 and 1680, and it means to expect, to trust, to anticipate. And I like this next definition because it really gives it some real meaning. It says to anticipate with pleasure. Expectation, confidence, faith, and hope. What an exciting thought regarding God's plan. Do we anticipate anything? Are we in anticipation of anything? Do we anticipate anything with pleasure? What are we looking for? The kingdom blessings, many things. We have the atonement. We anticipate that. We anticipate making our calling and election sure. The kingdom and the blessings of the world of mankind, bringing the world out of sin and darkness, the end of the permission of evil? How about God being all in all? God being in control again? Yes, brethren, there are many things we anticipate with joy and pleasure. We receive many blessings from this anticipation. How? Because we see with the eye of faith and the eye of understanding. We see from the revealment from our brethren and the interaction of the Holy Spirit in them. One point I'd like to make, but not spend any time on, because that would be in a study in itself, is the words hoped and faith. And if you follow that through, a lot of times they're very interchangeable, and that can be a very interesting study. But moving on, let's look at the term now, evidence. Evidence is from the word Strong 1650, and it's a very simple word. It means proof, conviction, or reproof. And this is not difficult. Evidence is the data and the information we need to prove our beliefs. Moving on to faith, the important aspect in God's plan. And this really excites me when I look at other meanings we discussed today and we tie in faith. Faith is from Strong's 4102. And if you have a concordance, you might want to follow along with this. I'm going to look it up here and read this exact meaning. Strong's 4102. Might help if I was in the Greek. Pistis, persuasion, evidence, moral conviction of the religious truth or truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy and assurance, belief and faith. What an awesome thought, faith, and the fact that it's our understanding, it's our assurance. If you go on and you read that, it refers to it as being the system of religious gospel truth itself. Faith is a system of religious gospel truth itself. The faith is the truth. When we learn something about the faith, what does this do? It builds our faith. We have almost a domino effect. We learn one bit of God's plan, it builds on itself. And our strength and faith and desire grows. Now, if I can interject the various meanings we looked at in Hebrews 4:1 for the word substance, hoped, evidence, and faith, it gives it an interesting thought. Now, the system of religious gospel truth itself is the substantiation of things pleasantly anticipated and hoped, and the proof of things not seen, or the evidence of things not seen. What an incredible thought when we consider faith, the religious gospel truth itself, is the substantiation of all that we believe in. God's truth. That builds our hope. It's the evidence we need to guide and direct us and spur us on, to energize us, to fulfill our responsibilities. You know, when I looked at this, it really didn't have much of a true meaning for me, especially before I was in the truth. It had kind of a vague meaning, this word meaning of faith. What did it really mean? I didn't grasp it. I didn't understand it. I looked at it in a sense of blind faith. I always thought it held some important meaning, something I really didn't understand, but I always felt that, well, you have to believe it because God says it. It's in the Bible, so you just have to believe it because it's there. Without proof, just accept it. That's what true faith really is. Well, I don't think that's what faith is. I think faith is having doubt or having no doubt, and you don't question, but you understand, and your faith is built based on a clear, firm foundation of what God's plan is. It just doesn't come from God, and we don't need to have visible manifestations of it. We see things in the truth that give us faith and clarify for us that we have the truth. We witness things I was never completely sure of its meaning it held. But, brethren, I don't believe we walk in a blind faith. I believe we walk with a very clear vision. Our whole Christian walk, our being called into truth, is a blessing. The one point alone is a miracle in itself, just the fact that we're here and we have the truth. It's not done in darkness. It's not done without understanding. Everything we see or hear is a result of our being justified, begotten of the Holy Spirit, and how that Spirit works in us. It is the development of this faith through those principles that we develop our understanding of this system of religious gospel truth. So in a sense, we walk with a very clear vision of God's plan for ourselves and for the world of mankind. We can literally see with our eyes of faith wide open and the vision as clear as the person sitting next to you what God's plan is. So, I'm saying that we walk in faith with very clear understanding of God's plan, and we're not walking in darkness. And when I looked at this, and I started looking at the different scriptures, I came up with one conflict. And the conflict is that I'm proposing that we see clearly. But what about 2 Corinthians 5:7? That rose a problem for myself because it says something different. We'll take some time to look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that do with my proposal and my argument? Okay, we walk by faith and we not walk by sight. And looking up this word sight in 2 Corinthians, it's from 1491, and it says a view. A view of a form, an appearance. It's also part of 1492, which really means to understand. Okay, so we walk by faith and we walk not by this sight. We know this 1491 is a root word of 3700. And that says, it's the same, and it's used in certain places to gaze with wide open eyes as something remarkable. But then it goes on to say something very, very important about the sight that's used in 1 Corinthians. It says, not like 1492, which expresses merely a mechanical vision, a passive, casual vision. Brethren, do we gaze on something remarkable? Do we gaze on something with mechanical vision? For me, the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we do, but not by the sight of a mechanical vision. We walk by faith with a sight as though we're gazing on something remarkable all the time. Anytime we open the Bible, we gaze on something remarkable. We see the character of God and are able to understand by the eye of faith what the future holds. And as in our hymn we opened with, it says, blessed Bible, precious word, 'tis a ray of purest light. 'Tis a fountain pouring forth, brighter than 1,000 gems. Whence eternal blessings flow, search we may for many years, still some new fresh gem appears. What a blessing to understand that in our Christian walk, no matter how long it takes, the Heavenly Father will expose to us in bits and pieces His plan to enable us, to excite us, to spur us on. Brethren, how often does the Lord bless us by allowing us to gaze on something remarkable? You know, when we read this hymn and we talk about this gem, I know for myself, when I come across something that's clarified for me or made clear through study, I get excited. I get goosebumps. It's thrilling. I think this is part of that energy and the blessings that we can receive from this energy and input that we put. Every time we open the Bible, we're looking on something remarkable. We're looking on God's character. The Bible contains the character of God. Brethren, the ability to be able to do this is a miracle in itself. Of course, we know it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes guidance and direction. It's a miracle for us. Think of this process the Heavenly Father has used to get us to the point where each of us are at today, right now in our Christian walk. Many of us have been here short periods of time. Many of us have been here for long years. But the Heavenly Father has been directing each of us in this process, building and assisting us, helping us to endure. Yes, brethren, the Heavenly Father has made many wonderful provisions for us to enable us to fulfill our consecration. And this concept of faith and its development, as said, is a critical ingredient. The Heavenly Father has given us gifts to accomplish this, many gifts. And we can find these mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. We talked about these this morning. They're so important. We need these gifts, these provisions, to assist us. We have the gifts, the diversity of the gift, but from the same Spirit, different administrations. We need to gather together. We should never forsake the gathering of ourselves together. We should work towards harmony and understanding. Diversity of operations, but it's the same God. It's the same energy. It's the same process. We have gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of understanding, of faith, discerning of the spirits, discerning of the body. We need these gifts, brethren, and the Heavenly Father has provided them for us. So really, brethren, what we have here to me is a development of another sense, the sense of faith. It is not a sense that we are given fully when we begin our walk. It's a sense that has to be developed and cultivated. It takes effort. It takes effort daily. We have to use all the Heavenly Father has provided for our success. And let's look at some scriptures, Romans 1, 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the key. We have to believe. To the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I know there are a number of different thoughts on this, but one I like to apply this is that we're developed from faith to faith, from bit of knowledge to bit of knowledge. As we learn and grow in knowledge, we grow in the grace of the Heavenly Father. The other is in Ephesians 3. In the 16th through the 19th verse, and that says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants to give us all there is. He wants to provide everything that he can provide for us. He wants us to succeed. And then finally, we have Ephesians 6, 16. We looked at that. And this really talks about, above all, taking on the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the world. It talks about other provisions made for us there. But the shield of faith, how do we shield ourselves from the fiery darts? By living and understanding and making the truth our own. This process helps us develop our trust in the Lord. Such an important aspect. We looked at that earlier. First you had to see it, you had to believe it, then you had to trust it. And once you went through that process, you were sealed. We must have faith and doubt not. Why? Because the adversary is out there waiting for us to doubt, to waver, to devour any of those of us that would doubt or fall short. The stronger our faith, the more our works will correspond to it and be proportionally large or small. the stronger our understanding of the gospel truth, the stronger we are able to withstand those darts. So, brethren, it's impossible for us to come near to the Lord except as we shall exercise faith, as we shall trust in Him, in His goodness, in His power, and in His wisdom and in His love. In Luke 17:5, the apostles asked for something, and I think we should ask for the same thing. And let's look at that. It's very simple. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." What an important attitude of mind and heart. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge. Give us direction. Increase our faith. Give us strength. In closing, I'd like to read a quote. It's from the reprint article 2162. And that says, "The Christian, the Christian life is a life of faith. Its first step is a step of faith. Its last step is a triumph of faith. All its victories are victories of faith, and all its joys are joys of faith." So, brethren, going back to Hebrews 11:1, in closing, faith is a substance, or the religious gospel truth itself is a substantiation of the things hoped for, the things pleasantly anticipated. And those things, those truths, are evidence of the things that we hope for. So, brethren, I pray that we may be faithful, we may live up to our responsibilities. I pray that we have substance. And I especially pray that we all triumph in faith. And I also pray that the Lord may add His blessing. Amen.
I'm sure we all appreciate Jonathan's analysis of faith, how important it is for the new creature.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we again approach Thy throne of grace, giving You special thanks for all the many provisions You've given for each of us. We thank You for this day and this opportunity You've given us to be here, to bring us here safely. We pray that when we travel home, You would be with us also and continue to watch over us. We thank You for the many blessings and Your plan for the world of mankind. We thank You for the opportunity we have, and we each pray that we may be faithful and that You would give us strength as You see our needs. We pray that You would also forgive us of our sins and shortcomings and all the areas that we may fall short. We now place the remainder of this day in Thy hands in care and keeping, and ask You continued blessing on those brethren here and all the brethren throughout the world. We pray that You give them strength as You see their need. We ask You of thanks and praise in Christ's name for all these things. Amen.